So this morning, friends, the title of my short reflection is Embracing Divine Love and Transformative Grace. But before we explore the profound wisdom and guidance that can be found within the two passages of scripture that was read from Exodus 3, 1 to 15 and Romans 12, 9 to 21, I'd like to ask you all a question this morning. And it is, have you ever encountered the presence of God or felt that God was telling you something? What was that experience like? And how did it make you feel? You could just think about that for a moment. And then I know that some of you are sitting next to somebody. If you don't mind just sharing, just for a few moments, we're going to look over that question and just share, maybe just in twos, the person next to you, or if someone's sitting behind you or even in front of you, if you could just explore these questions. Myself and Papa, Reverend Papa, are going to do the same, so you're not the only ones. We're going to do it too. Okay, so we'll leave the question up there for a moment so you can look back on it. So please talk to one another. Okay. So if we can all come back together as one. How is that? Okay. I will share myself and Reverend Papa were discussing our encounters, and they're so different. And I'm sure most of you all had different experiences of feeling God's presence. Reverend Papa, if you don't mind me sharing, he spoke about how he felt the presence of God through the Word of God. Sometimes in the morning, he will open a scripture and God will speak to him through the Word of God or through people. Sometimes he'd be thinking about something and someone would come along and say and talk about exactly what he was thinking or feeling, so a form of confirmation. Similar to myself, I shared with him. There's been many times where I felt the presence of God, but one in particular that I will share with you was when we were away at a staff leadership retreat, and during a time of prayer, there was just one single candle that was lit in the middle of the room, and there was classical music playing, very still. And then I heard repetitively God saying, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. It felt very warm. Then all of a sudden, the tears, and myself was like, why am I crying? This is so embarrassing. Why am I crying? Why are you letting me cry, God, in front of people? But it was so powerful that I was unable to control it. It was the presence of God, because it wasn't my usual surrounding. I don't listen to classical music. That's not my genre of music. And just to be still. And what that revealed to me made me feel that there is, God can show up or touch you in different places, in different circumstances, in something that may not be your norm. So we thank God for his presence. So as I said, the title of this reflection is Embracing Divine Love and Transformative Grace. So in the Exodus and Romans reading, these verses invite us to dive deep into the themes of encountering God's presence, embracing love, and living out transformative life. Let us explore together six lessons that these verses hold for our faith journey. Number one, encountering with the divine, which was in Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 15. Although Moses was raised in the palace as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, which we can read more about in chapter 2. Exodus 3, verse 1 to 2 reads, it's a different Bible version from what was read earlier. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to a far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. It did not burn up. In these opening verses, we see Moses, a humble shepherd who was minding his own business, looking after his father-in-law's flock, encountering a burning bush, a symbol of God's presence. Moses' curiosity led him to approach the bush, and in that moment, he found himself in the presence of the Almighty. This encounter teaches us that God often reveals himself in unexpected places and times, which I'm sure most of us can testify to after just exploring the question that I asked you all earlier. God beckons us to draw near and to listen. Just as Moses took off his sandals in recognition of standing on holy ground, we must also approach God with humility and reverence. Willingness to be open to what God is directing us to do, and remembering that God's presence transforms ordinary moments into extraordinary encounters. However, experiencing God's presence is just the beginning. Point two, the name of God, from verse 13 to 15. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God says to Moses, "I am who I am." That is what you say to the Israelites. "I am has sent you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you should call me from generation to generation.'" That includes us. In this passage, when Moses asks God for his name, God responds, "I am who I am." In other Bible translation, it states the name Yahweh, which is Lord. This name encapsulates the eternal, unchanging nature of God. It signifies his omnipotence, the state of being supremely almighty and all-powerful. Omniscience, the power to possess absolute and infinite knowledge of everything. And omnipresence, the power to be all places at all times. When we grasp the significance of God's name or names, we're reminded that we serve a God who is beyond our comprehension, yet deeply desires a personal relationship with us. Can anyone tell me any other names that God is known by, apart from Yahweh? Feel free to shut them out. Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. Any other names anyone is aware of?
Savior.
Savior. Yeah, Jehovah, Savior. Any other names? Sorry, I can't hear you.
Abba.
Abba Father. Yeah, Angela, go ahead. Elohim, absolutely, Elohim. They are so many names that are mentioned that God has revealed to us in the Bible. A few more, just, I think there's, I may be wrong, maybe my minister can correct me. I believe maybe there are over 20 plus names that God has revealed to us. Some of which, I won't read all 20 plus names, but just a few of them, which some of you have called already. We have El Rapha, the Lord who heals. We have El Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies and makes holy. El Shalom, our God of peace. El Tiskenu, the Lord of righteousness. which we'll find in, if you want later, I can tell you what scriptures they come from. And El Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. As I said, that's just to name a few. Having a personal relationship is so important. I'm sure most of us have names that only certain people can call us by, because we have a different and personal relationship with them that nobody else has. Or maybe it's a name that you have for a spouse that you call your children, or a family member, or a friend. For example, I have a name or two that I'm sorry I'm not going to share with you, that only four people are allowed to call me by and get away with it. And it's absolutely no-no for anybody else to call me by those names. For example, when my mum used to call me by that name, she knew I was less likely to say no to whatever she asked me for, because it was a term of endearment. So she knew she could get away with calling me that name. I love that God has revealed to us all his many names that we can call him by, because he has a deep desire for us to have a personal relationship with him, especially when we can be specific to wanting a particular need. For example, we can call him El Shalom, our God of peace, when we are praying for nations at war. Or El Rapha, our God that heals. So let's continue to call him Yahweh Elohim to help us deepen our relationship with him. Point three, living out love. So in our Romans reading, which was chapter 12, verse 9 to 13, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another, but above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The Apostle Paul provides us with a blueprint for living a life of authentic love within the Christian community. Paul's word urges us to love sincerely, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. He calls us to serve one another with diligence and to contribute to the needs of others. This passage reminds us that love is not just a feeling, but a deliberate action that requires our whole being. Responding to evil with good. We continue on from verse 14 to 21. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So looking at the whole passage of Romans 12, 9 to 21 that we have just read, from point three, living out love, and in this lesson four, I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself that it's quite challenging to do. Especially if someone has offended you. Or someone has done quite an evil act towards you. How do we look back at this scripture and say, especially bless those that curse you? Some of us might find that hard, especially when someone has offended us. If they're hungry, you're like, let them, there might be a part saying, let them suffer. They deserve what comes back to them. They sow what they reap.
Yeah.
But Paul delves into a radical concept, responding evil with good. He encourages us to bless those who persecute us, to empathize with other pain, and to overcome evil with love. This teaching challenges our natural inclinations, but it reflects the transformative power of Christ's grace within us. As we embrace this teaching, we become vessels of healing. We receive the healing from the pain that we've gone through, and reconciliation in a broken world. Every day, as we develop our personal relationship with God, we should seek His help in becoming Christ-like. Unity in transformation. Both Exodus 3 and Romans 12 reminds us that God's transformative power is at work in our lives. Just as Moses was called to be a leader and an instrument of deliverance, and as Paul instructs the early Christians to be living sacrifices, we too are called to be vessels of God's grace and agents of change. Our encounter with the divine and our commitment to genuine love becomes the foundation of transformative love. In Romans 12:2, it states, "Do not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what is good, pleasing and perfect will of God. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we do this by getting to know God and Christ daily through the Word of God, reading our Bible, spending time. When we're spending time in the Word of God, we're deepening our relationship with Him, and we're putting our love into action. Six, as we live in as transformed people. As we conclude, let us remember that our encounter with the divine presence fuels our capacity to love genuinely and respond to evil with good. The narrative of Moses and the Apostle Paul demonstrates that ordinary individuals can become vessels of extraordinary grace, and there are a lot of examples of people like this within the Bible, which some of us know. Let's seek to embody the message of this passage in our daily lives, allowing God's transformative power to work within us. May we be known by our love, our humility, and our commitment to overcoming evil with God, all for the glory of God. Amen.